Welcome and good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see you and all those smiling faces. It's a beautiful day, a great day to come together, brothers and sisters, and worship the Lord God Almighty. We're excited about what God is going to do today. So let's look at a few announcements before we begin worship. Ladies Auxiliary Fun Meal will be after the service today. We want all of you to stay and to eat. There'll be plenty to eat, more than you can eat. Probably plenty for you to take home. This is not how it normally works. So the Lord has blessed us with that. So remember that. The Ladies Auxiliary Lap Quilt Project for the veterans. They meet Mondays 9 to 12. For those of you with the Community Magazine subscription, get those to Linda Faye. You see that listed. Bible study 10 a.m. on February the 1st. That's Thursday. How about it? January's just about gone. Christmas will be here before we know it. Next Sunday morning at 7:30, the 4th, men's prayer breakfast. Scout Sunday on the 4th with a fundraiser scout meal on after the service. Everyone's invited. The deacons will meet on the 20th on Tuesday. You see the announcements that are listed about experiencing God studies, see the appropriate person if you would be interested. And all the church boards are encouraging you to have nominees for the coming year ready by the spring quarterly meeting so we can handle that business. And you see for bookings for the facilities here, see Donna Smith. She has a number that you can reach her. Do we have any other announcements? Yes, I have a card. Dear church family, thank you so much for the generous contribution you made to help us with our classroom expenses. This will be most definitely put to good use and support the students in our classroom. It's nice to have a loving and supportive church family. We are so thankful and appreciative of this blessing. Much love, Lindsay Howard and Sarah Hughes. And God's good. He has blessed us, and that way we're able to bless others. And that's what it's all about.
Joe, may I say something?
Yes, go ahead.
Just wanted to kind of report on the, supporting the downtown church with the food ministry. Yesterday they served 62 families. Randy Smith sent me a picture at 8:15, and there was cars all the way around their parking lot and all the way past the fire department. So it's a worthwhile ministry, and we'll talk more about our additional contributions coming up. And also there are some two sheets stapled together in the vestibule on the right-hand side facing it from here. And if anybody wasn't here about the each one, reach one, I'll be glad to explain it to you. I won't take time up now to do it all over again. But if you stay and eat, and if you want to catch me, if you're not aware of what we're doing, please just stop me and I'll fill you in. Thanks.
Any others? So we have a matter of business to attend to, and I think this is just as good a time to do it as any. So the special call meeting is now in session, and we have a motion to make available $5,000 to the RAMP ministry to meet a need. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion, any question, anyone? All in favor vote aye.
Aye.
All opposed likewise. This motion to make available $5,000 to the RAMP ministry is adopted. This session is now adjourned. All right, so let's prepare for worship.
Jesus.
stand together and let's read the responsive reading. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Father, I praise, I lift, I exalt your name. And I thank you, Lord, that as you look down upon us, you consider us to be your people. And you've proved it by giving your Son. And your Son, Jesus, has proved his love for us by giving his life. We're so thankful for that. And that's why we come to just praise and lift and worship this morning. So speak to us and move us in the direction you would have us to go, that we can be the people you created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you remain standing and turn to 433 in the hymnals, we're going to sing all four verses of Rise Up, O Church of God. Be seated. Dennis Hill has our scripture readings this morning.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. In the New Testament, Mark chapter 1, 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
continue to worship as we pray this morning. Are there any needs we need to remember?
Joe, yeah. Remember Leroy, he's having shoulder replacement surgery on Friday.
Okay, Leroy, shoulder replacement surgery Friday. Any others?
Jeffrey Kennedy,
okay.
William Murphy.
Alan J. Any others? So remember these needs also on the back of your bulletin. You'll see needs that are listed as you pray every day. Lift these. And if you can't think of anything to pray about, pray for one another. Amen. And thank God for all his blessings. He has really been mighty good to us. Let's take action. Yes? And don't forget our prayer team. If you've got something, a special need, see our prayer team. See Pam, let her know. All right, let's pray.
Sunday school, you let us use it. It's never ours. We should always remember that it all belongs to you. Mm-hmm. We pray that you would be with those, Lord, that are sick and injured, and the helping hands you've sent to take give them relief. We pray that you be with them, Lord, both the healers and those deemed to be healed. We pray that you be with this church, your church, only you, that we would do your will, whatever you want us to do, that you will show us your way, not our way, but your way. And I pray that you guide us. I pray that you be with your messenger, with our pastor, as he brings the morning message, and that each one will walk away feeling blessed, more blessed, because you are here today. I pray all these things in your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to 688 and stand to sing the marked verses of Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us.
Early let us sing thy favor, early let
Doxology, please. Be seated. Today our scripture text comes from 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. A great passage of scripture, and I want to read it this morning. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist in its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Which is the greatest? So, today our thought is love, actually. We're in a series called Straight Ahead. The purpose of this series is to help us identify key biblical principles that we need to govern our lives as we move forward. Because we want to move forward in life. We want to move forward with God, right? And it's possible to go backward. It's possible, when it's time to go forward, to stand still. And we certainly don't want to miss out on what God is doing, do we? The first week we talked about the principle of perception. Perception is seeing the big picture, learning to see things as God sees them. And the only way to do that is to spend time with God. To spend time with God in His Word. If we're going to see things as God sees them, we have to get to know Him. Perception is very important. The last week we talked about responsibility and that we got to give up excuses and dare to take some steps of obedience. We got to dare to walk with God so that God can do great things in your life, because with great responsibility comes great power. And God is all about doing great things in the lives of His people. Today we want to look at the principle of connection. We were not made to live disconnected, isolated lives. The Apostle Paul describes the church as the body of Christ. And we all want a healthy, well-functioning body, don't we? Yes. You know, I got this hip that just aggravates me to death. And what do I do to it? I have to pamper it and rub it and put heat on it. You know, in my eyes sometimes, you know, they want to run water. They just want to run water, and they get irritated, and they burn. I mean, it's aggravating. But I don't have a plan to pluck them out, I can tell you that. I want all my parts connected, and I want them to working together for my good. Amen? Amen. And the church is not any different. And this principle of connection reminds us that we are not to live disconnected, isolated lives, that we were all made to be in a relationship with one another. And the principle of connection is all about how you treat other people. Now, I was reading an article some time back that talked about how isolation affects more people today than it ever has before. And it's easier to attain isolation more than ever before. I read about Bob. Bob is single. He lives alone. He works alone. He works out of his house. He rarely leaves his apartment. He doesn't go to church. He don't go to parties. He don't go bowling with his buddies. He never invites anybody over for dinner. He just stays home alone all the time. His only connection with the outside world is via the internet. And he wonders why he's lonely. Today, especially in the United States, this kind of lifestyle is becoming more and more common. And this is not the way we were made to live. We were created to love and to be loved. We need real, genuine, personal contact with other people. We need one another, and we need to love and be loved. The great American psychiatrist Carl Menninger, founder of the Menninger Clinic in Topeka, Kansas, he wrote this book called Whatever Became of Sin. He had this to say about love. He said, "Love is the medicine for the sickness of the world." He used to tell his clinic staff, all the nurses, the doctors, the orderlies, even the cleaning people, anybody who worked there, he used to tell them that the most important thing that they could offer a patient is love. That's because, he said, people in therapy and people who are hurting need to know that they're loved if they're ever going to get better. Now, this has nothing to do with your marital status. This has nothing to do with whether or not you live with your family. You can be connected to others in a fulfilling relationship, whether you're married or divorced or widowed, or whether your family members are thousands of miles away. This is one of the great things about being involved in a local church. You have a family right here for you that you can belong to and you can be part of no matter what your circumstances. Several years ago, Ben and I went to the Philippines, and on our journey there, we met a lot of people, saw a lot of people. But when we arrived on that little island of Palawan, and that little church there, they were standing out there with banners, welcome us all. I felt like I'd known them all my life. Nobody else on that journey we met, I felt like that about. But when we got there to that little church that God had on that island, God's people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, I felt like a real family community. We were a part of it, and that they truly loved us. The great thing about the church. So our text today was 1 Corinthians 13. If you've ever been to a wedding, no doubt you've heard it. It's called the Love Chapter. And I'm going to talk about five ways. Yes, five, okay? Don't panic. Don't panic. Five bullet points, and we'll move through them quickly. But there's five important things I think we need to glean from this. I'm going to try to make it simple, because love, it's not really something you know. It's not something that you feel. You know, love is something you do. That's the kind of love that Jesus had for us. He probably didn't feel like dying on a cross. He probably didn't feel like being crucified. But he was the only one that could do it. And he done it because he loved us. And likewise, we should love others because he loved us with that kind of love. So here are five bullet points. First of all, love actually treats others as equals. People aren't dirt. And we should not treat people like dirt. I don't know how to make it any more simple. You're not dirt, so don't look at yourself as dirt. Paul said, love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist in its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Now, these things that Paul mentions here, envy, jealousy, arrogance, rudeness, selfishness, resentment, all these things are actions of people who either think they're better than everyone else, or they're people who have such low self-esteem that they feel like they have to behave this way in order to prove something. But I've noticed this, when you're among equals, you don't feel the need to boast. When you're among equals, you don't feel the need to insult them. Among equals, you don't feel the need to tear others down or artificially inflate yourself or your sense of self-worth. We must see each other as equals. Once we lose that perspective, these other unhealthy things begin to flow out of us. One time, some religious people dragged a woman in the presence of Jesus, and they said, "We've caught her riding red-handed in the sin of adultery." Their solution was to stone her to death. And they wondered what Jesus thought about it. And he says, "Let those of you who've never sinned cast the first stone." That's what losing perspective about treating others as equals will do. They dropped their stones and left. The lesson is that had they treated this woman as an equal, they would have loved her and encouraged her, just like Jesus did. But they had inflated themselves above this woman, and their rude arrogance hindered them from loving her as an equal. She was not worthy of their time, and especially their love. Has God placed people like this in your life? If so, it's because he wants you to love them. Not judge them, but love them and treat them as equals. Now, what if the other preacher, what if that person don't respect me? Well, there's nothing you can do about that. God does not tell us to go out and our goal is to make people respect us. He says, love them. Love them. The attitude that creating loving, healthy relationships, it lets people know that the relationship is built on level ground and it will always be that way. And that'll open the door, I believe, for them to receive that God-given love that he gives to us all. Secondly, love actually Love actually bends without breaking. What does Paul say about love? Love is patient and kind. I wonder why he would say that. Anybody got a clue? You know, some of us aren't easy to love. I'm not talking about y'all. I know there's none of y'all in that group, but sometimes we're not easy to love, right? You know, and sometimes we know that, right? And we want people to be patient with us. We still want them to be kind to us, don't we? We do. You don't abandon someone the minute they fall down. You don't blast them with hostility the minute they make a mistake. Jesus certainly didn't. We shouldn't either. When you're in a relationship with others, friends, family, marriage, ministry, work, you need to come to grips with the fact that you have to forgive people more than one time. How many of y'all have ever committed one sin to where you only need to be given one time in your life? And, you know, we want people to give us more than one time, don't we? Because, you know, we're sinners. And we make mistakes, and we fail. And we have good intentions sometimes, but we don't always follow through. And we have to come to grips with the fact that we have to forgive people more than once. Sometimes you have to go the extra mile for them. Sometimes even a few more miles, and a few more miles. Those areas in which they need to improve might not be improved with the snap of a finger. Your advice that you give them may not work. And the people God has placed in your life are going to need your patience and your kindness. Don't kid yourself. The truth is, you're going to need their patience and their kindness too. Jesus told a story about the prodigal son. It's an illustration of this. The son left home and he was everything he should not have been. And many would agree he was a disgrace to his family, his father, and his local church. And the last thing he needed was patience and kindness. He needed judgment. He needed to be reined in. But God shows us love actually bends without breaking. Has God placed any prodigals in your life? The key to a mature, loving relationship is having the wisdom to know how far to bend. And sometimes, many times, oftentimes, we're so stiff we won't bend at all. Pushing the prodigals further and further away. There's no magic formula. You have to learn as you go. You have to trust God as you go. And a good guideline to follow and learn how to bend without breaking is don't set yourself on fire to keep somebody else warm, but do give them a coat. Because love is patient. And love is kind. Number three, love actually lets go of the past. Paul says it this way. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. If you keep records, the past will continue to haunt you. If you keep records, you'll find yourself getting mad over and over and over again about things that happened decades ago, things you cannot do anything about. I read about a woman. She's in church every Sunday. She got mad at her husband for coming home late one night and missing a meal. He said he would be home at 6, but on the spur of the moment, he stopped by to visit a friend. He eventually got home at 9. He was in the wrong, no question about it. Dessert that night was supposed to be his favorite cinnamon bread, but she got mad and threw it out in the backyard. Now, some of you might say, I don't blame her, he had it coming. Maybe he did. But here's where the story goes off the rails. This happened sometime back in the 70s. She still has not made cinnamon bread since. At least when he was home to enjoy it. So how's that for letting go? Are there any cakes in your backyard? Clara Barton, founder of the American Red Cross, was confronted one day with the memory of a betrayal she had experienced years before. But she acted like she'd never even heard of it, like she didn't even have a clue. And the friend persisted and kept pushing and saying, but Clara, don't you remember what that person did? Clara said, no, I distinctly remember forgetting it. If you want to be in a healthy, loving relationship with others, if you want to bless people with the love of God, you got to be willing to let go of the past. That's why Paul said in Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Because actually, love keeps no record of wrongs. Number four, actually, love celebrates all that's good. Here's how Paul says it. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Gore Vidal once said, he said, it's not enough to succeed. Others must fail. You ever known anyone with that kind of attitude? They just can't enjoy the success of others without being overcome with envy and jealousy and bitterness. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, says Paul. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness or injustice. In short, love does not delight in that is evil. Now, Paul may have been referring to several specific issues among the Christians in Corinth. They were sinners too, right? But this statement is true in all cases. Anytime a believer finds him or herself tempted to root for or enjoy injustice or wrong choices, we can know we're not motivated by the love of God, but by evil itself. Love does not rejoice in the wrong. It rejoices in truth. The truth, no matter how difficult it may be, is always the best path through any situation. It's the way of and to Christ, who is the truth, wanting what is true to be understood and accepted by others. It's one way we express love. So remember, if someone's good fortune secretly eats away at you, or if their misfortune secretly makes you happy, it's time for an attitude check, an altitude check, isn't it? It's time to reevaluate. Because Paul said, I used to speak like a child and act like a child. When I became a man, I put away childlessness. If you want to be more loving toward others, make the choice to rejoice with them when they rejoice. And when they weep, you get right down there and weep with them, regardless of your own circumstances. The fifth thing is, love actually never gives up. I'm going to quote from the New King James Version here. Paul said that love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. You had to beareth with anyone this week? Have you had problems believing all things? Hope a thing, all thing. Love never quits. Love never quits. And here's one thing we must understand. Love cannot endure forever when the boundaries of a relationship are off kilter. And if we're constantly setting ourselves on fire to keep others warm, or if we're constantly demanding that others set themselves on fire to keep us warm, eventually the relationship's going to burn out. However, when the proper boundaries are in place, you can stay with them no matter what. Relationships are defined by proper boundaries. And when they are defined by proper boundaries, they're not a constant drain on your resources. They won't deplete you. And when the boundaries of a relationship are right, you can work them out. And you must make it work, actually, because love never fails. It never quits. It never gives up. That's why it's the greatest of the three. In conclusion, several years ago, Bank of America had this slogan. Do y'all remember what it was, anybody? Ain't we got some bankers in here? You competition? You know what the slogan was? Life's better when we're connected. Huh? Life's better when we're connected. The statement's true. And the truth is, it's God's love that connects us. It was God who made us to live in community with one another. Love is fundamental in our relationship with God and with each other. And it's impossible to be happy alone. And another thing is, it's easy to love the lovable. Amen?
Amen.
But that's not what this scripture is about. This scripture is about what? Loving the unlovable. And sometimes we're the unlovable. Sometimes we're hard to love. And sometimes God puts people in our path that are hard to love. But love actually is the answer for both these situations. We need to love, and we need to be loved. But we must understand that this love doesn't come from a position of neediness or weakness. It comes from a position of strength. You have to be strong to love like this. You have to be strong in your love of God. You have to be strong in your faith to love like this. You have to be strong to treat others with mutual respect. You have to be strong to bend without breaking. You have to be strong to let go of the past. You have to be strong to define what the proper boundaries are. Love is actually the constant of the Christian life. It's our driving force that moves us down the road of life with God and with kingdom power. And the more we learn to live in God's love, the more we are able to live in God. And the way we demonstrate our love for God, the way you demonstrate your love for God is to demonstrate your love for people. When you love your brother, your sister, you're showing that you love God. To the extent to which you love others defines the extent in which you love God. Actually, we can sum it all up with simply saying, loving God means loving others. If you want to strengthen the bond of love between you and your Heavenly Father, show more love to the people He sends to you to love. Now, God has made clear one thing. If you're serious about loving Him, you better be serious about loving others. The principle of connection declares that we were not made to live in disconnected, isolated lives, but we were made to live in a relationship with one another. And we can't move forward in love when we're always looking down on others or even looking down on ourselves. Love looks straight across, eye to eye, equal to equal, because we're all in the same boat, beloved. We've all sinned and come short of His glory. And we all need the love of God and relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Loving others with this kind of love will empower you to move straight ahead. And it enables you to help others move straight ahead and straight forward in their relationship and their journey with God. So church, let us love one another. Because actually, love is the greatest. And love is something that we can all do. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word, Your instruction. We need it. We need Your perspective, Your relationship. And we need to understand the principle of connection. So help us to truly love one another. And especially those people You send to us who need to be loved. Give us grace, give us mercy, strengthen us in our resolve. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's turn to 597 in our hymnals. Stand and sing the marked verses of Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated.
That are listed in the bulletin, also the meal over here next door. Everyone's invited to eat. Does anyone have anything to say before we leave? I guess you're hungry. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, You've been mighty good to us, and as we live our lives, we live it out of abundance because You bless us every day. We're going to share this meal, and Lord, together help us to eat with humble hearts, recognizing that there are people, even our own country, who have nothing to eat. So we dedicate that meal to You and offer thanks for all You give us. And bless us this week, and give us eyes to see people You send to us who need to know and experience Your great love. And we're going to give You the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.